Well, thanks so much, Claren, and welcome to all of you to Parliament House. Thank you, Auntie Violet, for a characteristically warm, thoughtful and articulate welcome to country. It's very generous of you to extend that welcome to all of us. I have, of course, to begin with a thank you to the Uniting Church, without which I literally wouldn't exist. My parents met in Ivanhoe Methodist Church in 1962 when my dad was giving a sermon on behalf of his father. Afterwards, they got chatting and my dad said to my mum, would you like a lift home? She literally lived within sight of the church. And she said, yes, if you could drive me home, that'd be lovely. And so my parents fell in love. I want to also thank the extraordinary network of researchers and policy advocates here, particularly Uwe Dulick, who I've known for a very long time, and the work that you do to create a fairer Australia. It's a real pleasure to be invited to celebrate the 2024 Child Social Exclusion Index report, a collaboration between University of Canberra researchers and Uniting Care, which, as Claren noted, has worked for over a century to support vulnerable Australians and advocate for social justice. Tackling disadvantage is really at the heart of our government's vision for Australia, and it's one of the most important challenges of our time. It's a topic I've been focused on since my university days. The title of my 2004 PhD thesis was Essays in Poverty and Inequality, and it was a set of issues I expanded on in a book in 2013, Battlers and Billionaires, The Story of Inequality in Australia. Tackling inequality and exclusion has to start with robust data and statistics, and that's what this report does. It extends the concept of poverty to measure social and material disadvantage and highlights the geographical areas facing the highest levels of child social exclusion. This contributes to a long and rich tradition in the social sciences, a tradition that says we must start with robust statistics to transform disadvantage. It shows that data-driven indices and maps can create significant social change. And it's that tradition that I want to say a few words about today, and which I hope can inspire us as we consider the findings of the report. In the late 19th century, Charles Booth undertook one of the best-known attempts to systematically measure the number of people in poverty and map their distribution. His inquiry into the life and labour of the people in London saw house-to-house surveys take place across London for almost 20 years, from 1886 to 1903. Participants were asked diverse questions about their living and working conditions, the impact of migration, the organisation of trade and industry, religious life, women's employment and leisure activities. One of the most highly publicised findings was that over 30% of London's population was poor. Booth articulated a line of poverty and showed the distribution of people living above it and below it on a series of maps. The empirical insights, data-laden tables and social cartography in Booth's reports changed the game. For the first time, an evidence base was established to translate the ungraspable problem of poverty into a measurable social issue. That was the starting point for significant social change. That impact was profound, changing the public debate on poverty. The new social science evidence challenged the general view that poverty was an individual failing and could only be countered by personal change. Instead, it became clear that individuals and families faced a range of economy-wide risks. Poverty could not simply be insured against through private or collective means. The social science methods used by Booth reverberated across England and around the world, influencing social mapping programs from York to Chicago and Philadelphia. Booth's work and influence eventually led to government interventions such as national insurance and old age pensions. Booth's thinking also came to Australian shores. In 1891, the Melbourne Leader reported that the figures and classifications from Booth's study in London could be applied in other major cities, including Melbourne and Sydney. And it was picked up in 1902 by Labor commissioners in New South Wales who used Booth's classification to sort unemployed people into six classes. Now, we should no means look back at Booth's categorisation through rose-tinted glasses. They were described and even defined in as much moral as economic terms. And it wasn't until Ronald Henderson's major 1966 study of poverty in Melbourne that Australia saw the first systematic attempt at measuring poverty. Henderson went on to chair the Commission of Inquiry into Poverty in 1972, which established an Australian poverty line and investigated its multidimensional nature. The report being launched today, the 2024 Child Social Exclusion Index, builds on this rich history. It extends the concept of poverty to measure exclusion and material disadvantage and understand the risk of social exclusion, specifically for Australian children. The findings show where child social exclusion is highly prevalent, providing an important contribution and a starting point for developing solutions. Our government shares the same commitment to quality statistics and analysis to shift the dial on disadvantage. We've invested $16 million over 4 years in the Australian Bureau of Statistics to lead a Life Course Data initiative. This four-year pilot program is part of the Targeting Entrenched Disadvantage package announced in last year's budget. That package has a strong focus on intergenerational disadvantage and on improving child and family wellbeing. The Life Course Data initiative will create an integrated data asset based on the Person Level Integrated Data Asset, or PLIDA, and it'll create data insights to inform long-term policy responses to address entrenched place-based disadvantage. The initiatives will also enable community access to data. This is expected to help researchers and policymakers understand how communities experience disadvantage. It'll help guide local decision-making and better direct funding. Our government's also established the Australian Centre for Evaluation in the Treasury to develop our understanding of what interventions work and what can work better. It hopes to improve the volume, quality and impact of evaluations right across government. To drive higher quality evaluations, the Australian Centre for Evaluation is partnering with departments and agencies to conduct flagship evaluations on agreed priorities. The first partnership with the Department of Employment and Workplace Relations, using randomised trials to evaluate different features of online employment services. The centre also supports agencies to build their capacities and prepare their own evaluations, multiplying the volume and quality of evaluations right across the government. So reports like the one being launched this morning are essential. Their insights help provide granularity and an empirical evidence base for change. They'll help develop solutions to tackle child social exclusion. Lessons from the history of social surveys and cartography show that empirical studies like yours can create the foundations for social change. They can pinpoint need and show where our efforts should be targeted to make a positive difference. Tackling child social exclusion and disadvantage is a challenge we face together. A shared understanding of its nature is a vital foundation for collaboration. Thank you for your contribution. It's my pleasure to officially launch the Child Social Exclusion Index 2024.